Okay, now for a few minutes, we'll look at Psalm 71. I'm not going to do a verse by verse as I usually do, but I want to pick up some of the thoughts that I see here through Psalm 71. I'm entitling the message from the theme of this psalm, which is in essence the theme of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in the gospel we see the righteousness of God revealed unto us through the Lord Jesus Christ. As I pointed out in the reading, the Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness, and that's mentioned 5 times in this one psalm. I'm reminded, and you will remember this verse as I read it to you, in Romans chapter 1, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God revealed in that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith, the faith of God's elect, always looks unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see all of our salvation accomplished completely in Him, by Him, and through Him. Now this righteousness that we so desperately need as sinners is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going about to establish a righteousness before God by our morality. Our morality will never produce righteousness before God. It might look good before men, but God said away with it. It's nothing but filthy rags. The righteousness that we so desperately need is only provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why Paul said he counted everything else lost, dung, and ruined it. He might win Christ and be found in Him who is all our righteousness before God. Now, isn't that a pleasant thing to think upon? The believer before God who is holy has a righteousness that justifies us before God, and that righteousness is Christ. The righteousness we have is Christ. As old brother Scott Richardson used to say, it's not something that's pasted on. Blessed is that man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. It's no surprise then that the Lord Jesus Christ is called in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord, our righteousness. It's no surprise that the bride of Christ, His church, is also called what? She shall be called, remember, the Lord, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6 said, Christ is our righteousness. And then Jeremiah 33:16, the bride of Christ, His church, is called the Lord, our righteousness. You see, we wear His name. We are one with Him. We wear His name, we're one with Him, united to Him, because He is righteous, we're righteous in Him, right? What's true of the head is true of the body. John says, as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, right now, so are we in this world. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we are complete, completely justified, completely redeemed, completely delivered. Now, it's a sad thing in our day that most of this religious world, they are totally ignorant of the justifying righteousness that's provided in the gospel. Therefore, they're always going about to try to establish a righteousness of their own. Now hold your place there on your bookmark. I want you to turn and read this with me. Turn over here to Romans chapter 10 this time. Romans chapter 10. If you would ask the average religious person what the Bible teaches about the doctrine of imputation or the doctrine of the righteous imputation revealed in the gospel in Christ, they wouldn't know much about it. But the scriptures teach it plainly. Look at Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And that's what we need. Lost people need to be saved. For I bear them record, talking about those old Jews. They have a zeal of God. The old Saul of Tarsus was zealous, wasn't he? But not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, ignorant of his holy character, and therefore they're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now what is that? That's Christ. That's Christ. Now look at verse 4, Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. We read it a moment ago in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and was glad. Abraham knew that he wasn't made righteous by what he did, but rather what Christ had done for him. Now this is David's strong plea. Look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 again. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now who else would you trust? For such a, the redemption of a soul is precious. Would you trust your soul to someone else other than Almighty God? God our Savior. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Believers trust him at all times. All times. Notice verse 5. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my hope. We have a good hope through grace. Thou art my trust from my youth. Now what a blessing it is to be a young person and blessed with a saving knowledge of God in Christ. Now back to verse 1. Let me never be put to confusion. Those who find all their hope of salvation and righteousness in Christ will never be confused, will never be ashamed. Versus those who said to the Lord, Lord, we preached in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we've done many wonderful works. And he said to them, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Well, they'll be put to confusion, won't they? They'll be confounded. Now look at verse 2, deliver me. Now who else can? Now just shuck right down to the cob, as the old country boy used to say. Shuck right down to the cob. Who else? Who else could deliver you in a right manner? Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliver me through Christ. Save me through Christ. Deliver me and then cause me. What's the cause of our salvation? Christ. He's the first cause and the last cause. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear. Incline thine ear. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. God said that man went down to his house justified. Incline thine ear. Lord, save me. Save me. That's a good prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Lord, save me. Who needs salvation? Lost people. Lost people. Look at verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort, that I may continually come. He is our hiding place. A man should be a hiding place from the wind. Christ is our habitation. He's our dwelling place, whereunto I may continually, to whom coming, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, whereunto I may continually rest. I find my rest and my refuge in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now here's the reason any sinner is saved. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Salvation to the Lord. Remember what Paul wrote to young Timothy from the prison cell, God. He reminded Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed of me nor the gospel. Well, the gospel is the power of God. The power of God and salvation is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Thou hast given commandment to save me. If any sinner is saved, it's by the decree and will and purpose of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that saves, that shows mercy. Thou hast given commandment, decree, to save me. The Father hath given him power over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to him. For thou art my rock. My rock. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's my rock, and he's my fortified place. He's my fortress. Verse 4, now deliver me. Deliver me. Oh, my God. Deliver me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel, cruel man. For thou art my hope. Thou art my hope. There used to be a old brother that was here years ago. And when I would meet him at the door at the end of the service, he would always say to me, I have a good hope. I have a good hope. And the good hope we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called our hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Thou art my hope. We have a good hope through Christ. Thou art my trust. Thou art my trust from my youth. I've been, by thee have I been holding from the womb. He that took me out of my mother's bowels, I shall praise thee continually. I'm a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. This was David's only plea before the Lord. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Save me, for thou art my hope. I trust in him alone. And that's every believer's hope. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now Christ is all of our righteousness. You've got that point? Christ is all of our righteousness before God. Now, in Adam, when Adam sinned and rebelled against God, what did we lose? Righteousness. Righteousness. We lost in Adam. By one man's disobedience, many shall be made. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. When Adam sinned, we sinned in him. When he died, we died in him. God said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll die. His body didn't die. His soul didn't die, but he died spiritually. His spirit died. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a justifying righteousness established. Established by his doing. Established by his faithfulness upon his doing and his dying. Established completely, eternally, forever. For thou hast done great things for us. In the salvation of our soul, we have righteousness freely, eternally imputed unto us. If you read through Romans chapter 4, that word imputed, reckoned, and counted, imputed, reckoned, and counted is repeated over and over and over again. Christ has been imputed to us, given to us freely. He is our righteousness before God. That's the only righteousness. God will only accept what he's provided. And he provided Christ for all of our salvation. Being guilty sinners that we are, we not only need our sin put away by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did that, right? He appeared once in the end of the age to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We not only need sin put away, but we need something else. We need righteousness imputed unto us. Christ put away our sin, and he is our righteousness before God. All of it. Justified freely by his grace through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's only accomplished in Jesus Christ and him crucified, who enabled God to be just and the justifier. to be a just God and Savior. That's why the Lord said, I am the Lord, beside me there is no other. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God. Look unto me and be ye saved. I am God and there is no other. He's the only just one and Savior. And what that causes us to do, that causes us to praise Him, doesn't it? That causes us to praise Him. Notice in this psalm, look what it says in verse 8. In verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. God's given commandment to save me. He delivered me. He's made me righteous in Christ. And the fruit of that is we give thanks unto the Lord. We praise the Lord. Look again at verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you find in your heart more thankfulness and readiness to give God all the glory in your salvation? Again, look down at verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart. With my whole heart. Look down to verse 22. I will also praise thee with an instrument, a stringed instrument, a psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou my Holy One. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, we sing that new song of redemption, don't we? Being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers love to tell about the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. And believers love to praise the Lord for that righteousness that's freely given. 75 times in the book of Psalms. Let's turn to a few of them. 75 times in the book of Psalms. Turn to Psalm 17. 75 times in the book of Psalms we'll read about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Psalm 17, look at verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness in Christ. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Talking about our resurrection glory, we're predestinated to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 22, verse 31. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. We love to talk about the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. You see that over and over and over again? Look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of thy servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. We talk about him. We praise him. Psalm 40. Turn over there. Psalm 40. Look at verse 9. Psalm 40, verse 9. I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So over and over and over again, and you can look all 75 of those references up. When it talks about David praising the Lord for that righteousness, talking about Christ, our righteousness before God. In Isaiah 45:24, just below where he says, look unto me and be ye saved. He says, surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Only in the Lord do we have righteousness and strength. Now, believers don't talk about creature merit, do they? Creature merit or creature righteousness, other than to discredit it. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. This human flesh cannot produce righteousness before God. It's impossible. It's impossible. If righteousness comes by what we can do, then Christ died in vain. If righteousness is by the law, Paul said, we don't need Christ. He died in vain if we can work it out ourselves. But we know the scriptures teach there's none righteous, no, not one. Let others talk about their righteousness, self-righteousness, if they're pleased to do so. Let them talk about it. It's only the talk of a fool who doesn't know who God is. As we read earlier, they're ignorant of the righteousness of God, and they're ignorant of the righteousness revealed in Christ. I know to some extent the effect of self-righteousness, what it brings in the life of an unbeliever. You know what it brings? No peace. No peace. No peace. No peace with God. In Isaiah 32:17, it says, the work of righteousness, that is his righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, is quietness and assurance forever. Those who are going about to establish a righteousness of their own, they have no peace. They have no peace. They may have a false religious peace, but they don't have peace with God because they don't look to Christ alone. Christ is our peace. He made peace for us with his own blood. I tell you what else the self-righteous, religious, lost sinner does not have. He does not have any assurance. He had no assurance. They try to find assurance in their works, but it only proves to be a lie. The Pharisee prayed that way in the temple, didn't he? Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast, I give tithes, I give all these things. The Lord said that man went down to his house condemned. Condemned. The lost religious self-righteous, they have no peace, they have no assurance, they have no refuge. The refuge they have, Isaiah calls it a refuge of lies, right? They build a refuge of lies upon their creature merit, and they hide in that refuge of lies. And God said, I'll lay the line and the plummet, and I'll expose the refuge of lies. It'll be exposed and destroyed in that day of judgment. The self-righteous, religious, lost person has no peace, has no true refuge. They have no righteousness of their own. You might remember our Lord said to those Pharisees, you are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Abomination in the sight of God. Now, look down to verse 16. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. His works are wonderful, aren't they? Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, till I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come. Verse 19, thy righteousness, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? There's none like him. There's none like him. There is a vital link between righteousness and salvation. Righteousness and salvation. You remember this scripture, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. by Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot expect salvation without the holy law of God being honored. Who did that for us? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to honor the law of God. And our God says of him in Isaiah 42, he's well pleased for his righteousness. He will magnify the law. He will make it honorable. As we go in the strength of the Lord, look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous work. Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord. When you go in the strength of the Lord, what do you talk about? I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. As we go in the strength of the Lord and preach the gospel, we preach about the righteousness of God in Christ. I found this scripture, one of my favorite, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I want to be in his hand, don't you? No one can pluck him out of his hand. He gives his sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. No man can pluck them out of his hand. As we go in the strength of the Lord and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in our youth or in our old age, we do so because we've been taught of God. Now, I've been trying to preach the gospel for over 40 years. Started out as a young man. Now I'm old. Still preaching that same message. Salvation of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is all of our righteousness before God. Now I can think of several reasons why we are to make mention only of that righteousness of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you three valid reasons. Number one, because it's true. Because it's true. Look what it says in verse 22. Psalm 71. I will also praise thee with a psaltery, a stringed instrument. I will sing unto thee with a harp, even thy truth, O God. What is truth? Pilate said, what is truth? Christ is that truth. Why we preach the gospel? Because it's true. Why we preach the gospel? Because God commanded us to do so. David said in Psalm 116, and Paul quotes it in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I believe God is God, and therefore that's what we preach. We preach the gospel because it's true. It's what God has taught us in his word. Look at verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded and they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Why do we preach the gospel of God? This righteousness revealed in Christ. Because it's true. Secondly, to convince men of their sin. The best deed you have, God said, is vanity before God. The best you have at your best point, your best thought, your best moment, God said, away with it. It's filthy rags. To convince men of their sin and their need of Christ, who is the believer, righteousness before God. You remember what Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself, I repent in dust and ashes. You'll never savingly look to the Lord Jesus Christ till you're convinced in your heart that you're guilty. That you have no hope in yourself. The third reason to show the way of salvation only in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only just one. The just suffered for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. God only saves sinners through Christ and him crucified. Christ putting away our sin and establishing for us Daniel called it in Daniel 9:24 that the Lord Jesus Christ brought in an everlasting righteousness for us. That's good news, isn't it? Why do we preach that Christ is all of our righteousness, that He's the Lord our righteousness? To comfort the sheep. To comfort the sheep. To comfort them. Comfort them. Look at verse 20 and 21. For thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, quicken me again. You hath thee quickened who were dead. And bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, that is in Christ, and comfort me on every side. There's nothing more comforting to a sinner who knows that he's guilty before God, that he sinned against God, than to know that the Lord Jesus Christ put away all our sin and established for us that perfect, blessed righteousness and freely gives that unto us. Now, look at verse 19. Psalm 71, verse 19. And we'll wind this up with this verse. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. It's as high as God, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God, who hath done great things. Great things. Great things He hath done. O God, who is like unto Thee? The righteousness of God provided in the gospel is a very high thing, as high as God. For it is from Him, and it lifts us up to glory, doesn't it? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, and raised us up to cause us to sit together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 85. Turn over there. Psalm 85. A couple pages over. Psalm 85. I was thinking about this verse here. Psalm 85. You remember verse 10? Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and her land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. That's good news, is it not? Who hath done great things? He's done great things for us. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He has done great things for us, and He's done great things in us. In us. God, who has begun a good work in you, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. Who is like unto Thee? Well, there's none like Him. There is none like Him. There is none like Him. You remember when the children of Israel were delivered through the Red Sea, the armies of Pharaoh destroyed, and they came back, came out on the other side, safe and sound, and they said, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" He's a wonderful God. His name is called Wonderful. And He does wondrous things, does He not? He does wondrous, wondrous things for us. Look at verse 17 again. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. It is wonderful that God would save such as we are. In Isaiah 51:7, it says, "Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my word. My righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." We love to talk about it. We love to sing about it in our youth or in our old age.